The sermon text for this afternoon, this evening, is from Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 23. These are the words of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward the heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you, we praise you for your word. We thank you that you have not left us as orphans, you have not left us alone in this dark world, but you have spoken to us and you have drawn near. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your word made flesh, who dwelt among us. Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we ask you to bless his word now. In Jesus' name, amen. This particular text has something glorious for us in this particular moment. And the verse that I really want to highlight and draw your attention to is verse 23. That final description of this ninth plague that God sent on the land of Egypt. It says in verse 23, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. There's something glorious here for us. The pagans were struck with darkness and could not rise, could not go out, could not move for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their homes. The text doesn't tell us exactly how this worked. It doesn't say if there was some kind of massive cosmic miracle taking place, or if the darkness was simply less intense in Goshen, such that their lanterns and candles actually worked, or whether there was some other supernatural light being given. But either way, this moment is glorious. There was thick, paralyzing darkness in Egypt, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The implication seems to be that there was still darkness in the land of Goshen, but that while Israel had to stay home, there was a relative blessing in the midst of the plague. So while there was still darkness in Goshen, and Israel too had to stay home, there was a relative blessing in the midst of the plague. Everyone was stuck at home, no one could go out, but where there was an additional darkness inside the homes of the Egyptians, all the children of Israel had light in the dwellings. Everyone had to stay home. There were two very different experiences of that darkness. In one experience, there was no variation, only darkness, inside and outside, all the way through. But in the other experience, there was significant variation. The darkness was only on the outside. The darkness was only outside, but there was light on the inside. All the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. It's still unclear exactly what has happened in our land, in our world, and what is happening right now. Whatever your view of this current situation, whether you are more concerned about the virus and the pandemic, or more concerned about the panic, or more concerned about government overreach and the loss of our civil liberties, or if it's some or all of the above, whatever your opinions, whatever your concerns, the message is that for those who know Christ, no matter the darkness outside, there should be light in your homes. There should be light in your families. There should be light on the inside. Whatever the darkness, whatever the hardship, whatever the cause, you can actually say it however you like. Of course, we care about truth. We want to speak the truth. But you can say it how you like, and your sentence should end. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. All the people of God had light in their homes. And so the question is, if you call yourself a Christian, if you profess faith in Jesus Christ, is there light in your home? Is your home full of light? When the story is told of these days, in years and decades to come, will it be said of you and your family that even though the world was full of darkness, the people of God had light in their dwellings? Is it full of light in your home? Is your home a place of peace and joy and gladness, even though there's darkness outside, even though there's uncertainty outside, even though there's fear outside? Is your home full of light? Is your home full of joy? Is your home full of peace? Is your home full of comfort? Is it a fun place to be? Or is your home full of darkness? Has the darkness of the world invaded your home? Is your home full of fear? Is it full of backbiting? Is it full of anger? Is it full of complaining? Is it full of coldness and distance, with everyone sort of spread out and trying to stay as far away from one another as they possibly can? And when it comes together, everybody's just walking on eggshells, afraid of offending, afraid of someone snapping, afraid of something blowing up. So how can we be sure that we have light in our homes? How can we make sure that in our day, during this plague, during this time of darkness in our land, how can we be sure that there's light in our dwellings, that there's still light in the dwellings of Israel, in the dwellings of the people of God? Well, the Bible says that there's at least two ways in which you can be sure there will be light in your dwellings. There are at least two ways that you can be sure that there will be light in your home, light in your family, light in your marriage. The first is the light of the Word of God. The people of God should always have light in their homes because they have the Word of God in their homes. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. That's the word. The word is a light. The word is a lamp. If you have the word, then you have light. If you have the word open, then you have light shining. We have something similar going on in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, Paul is writing to the Ephesians and urging them to be children of light. We see this in Ephesians 5 early in the chapter. Here he says in verse 7, "But be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And then a few verses down he says, "And do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Do you want light in your home? Then you must have the Word open, and you must have no fellowship with the works of darkness. You must have the Word open, and you must have no fellowship with the works of darkness. You must have no fellowship with the works of darkness on the internet. You must have no fellowship with the works of darkness on Netflix or Amazon Prime or HBO or whatever it is, or in your heart. You must have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather you must expose them, hate them, and repent of them. That's what Paul says. That's what light does. When you open the Word, it rebukes works of darkness. It drives them away. You can't have the lights on and it stay dark. If the light is on, the darkness flees. If the light comes on, the shadows flee. And if the shadows aren't fleeing, the light isn't on. Right. And so we live in a culture that gives lip service to the Word of God. We live in a culture that says, yeah, read your Bible. And it can be said in the highest levels, and people say, yeah, read your Bible. It's a good thing to do. And we have millions and millions of homes with Bibles, which maybe even occasionally are open, and it doesn't matter a bit. It doesn't do a thing. The darkness is still there. There's the word, and it's sitting there, and there's a garbage can on top of it. There's a curtain on top of it. It's not actually shining its light because no one's listening, no one's obeying. The word is not actually going forth. But if the word's going forth, then it drives you to repent. And you can't be in the word, you can't have the light of the word shining and continue in fellowship with the works of darkness. You must hate them. You must repent of them. You must despise them. And instead of staying in fellowship with them, instead of staying in fellowship with whatever the television shows are that are coming up with the latest gunk, instead of being in fellowship with whatever it is that is driving people now into the dark, instead of that, we must be people of the Word, reading the Word, singing the Word, and obeying the Word. the Word is light. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Word really is light? So open the Word. Open it. If it's light, open it. Read it. Read it out loud. Read it out loud to your family. Read it out loud to your kids. Read it out loud to your spouse. Open the Word. Read it. Read it out loud. Let it shine. Let it shine. Open it up and let it shine. Read all of it. Genesis to Revelation, not just random verses, not just randomly. Read it all the way through. It's the Word of God. Is it precious to you? Do you want the light on full blast? Then read it. Read it and listen to it and commit to obeying it. Do whatever it says with joy. Do whatever it says with joy. Do you want the light? Right? Then wives, submit to your husbands joyfully, gladly. Do you want the light? Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Do you want the light? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you want this light? Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but recognize that you have a responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do you want the light? Then stop lying and tell the truth. Stop stealing and work hard with your hands and give generously. Do you want the light? Well, that's the light. This is the light of the Word, and it's right here. It's right here for us. And here, in particular, Paul says to sing the Word. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, and he tells us how to be full of the Spirit, by singing the Psalms, by singing the Word of God, by singing the words that God's given us to sing back to him. Sing the words, or start learning how, if you don't know how. Start learning how. And notice that singing the Word is how it dwells in you richly. And so Paul says this in Colossians, in a parallel text, where he also says, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do you want the light of Christ to dwell in you richly? Then sing the psalms. Sing God's Word. That's how you turn the dimmer switch up to full blast. That's how you turn the dimmer switch up to full blast. Do you want the Word to shine in your home brightly? Then sing the Word loudly. Do it with thanksgiving. And notice what he says. Always and for all things. Always and for all things. Do it when you have a lot of food on the table and when you don't have a lot of food on the table. When you have a lot of money in the bank, when you don't have a lot of money in the bank. When the coronavirus is going around and when it's not going around. Or when the government is shutting everything down and when it's not. When Wall Street is doing great and when it's not. When gas prices are high and when they're low. He says, giving thanks always and for all things. When the Word is in your mouth and in your heart is full of light. And if your heart is full of light, then your home will be full of light. The second way in which we can make sure that we have light in our homes, we can make sure that despite the darkness, light is bright in our homes, is through the light of fellowship. So the first way is the light of the Word. Open the Word, read the Word, sing the Word, obey the Word. And the second is the light of fellowship. The people of God should always have light in their homes because they have fellowship with God and one another in their homes. Fellowship is light. Listen to this from 1 John chapter 1. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So again, Paul mentioned this already in Ephesians 5, and 1 John brings it up again. Light is also found in fellowship with God and one another. You cannot say you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love God and love the world or the things in the world. John goes on to say that in verse 15. If anyone loves the world, the love of God is not in him. So a bunch of church-going people need to hear this word. You go to church, you sing in the choir, maybe you lead a small group, maybe you're even in leadership, maybe you're an elder, maybe you're a deacon, maybe you're a pastor, and you need to hear this word. You don't love God. You don't love God. You love the world. Your heart, if you're honest, is full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and you don't know the Father. That's why your life is full of darkness. You are so full of darkness because you don't know the light, because the light is not in you. How can it be that a land full of so many professing Christians is so corrupt and so thoroughly wicked? How can it be that cities full of so many church-going people murder so many babies? How can it be that cities full of so many church-going people celebrate sexual perversions and abominations publicly with parades and signs? How can it be that cities and states and the nation full of so many church-going people are constantly, routinely defying the law of God and doing whatever they want economically and politically? How can that be? Well, the answer is that there are many people in this land who think they are Christians, but they are not. That's the answer. That's the answer. The reason our land is so full of darkness is because the people in our land are so full of darkness. And that means, just do the math, that means our churches are full of darkness. And if our churches are full of darkness, then so are many of our homes. Many of our homes are full of darkness. Many of those who name the name of Christ don't know him. They are full of darkness, and there's no light in them at all. They do not have fellowship with God, and they are walking in darkness. And so they're liars. They're liars. The church is full of them. And this is evident in their relationships with God and those around them. They have constant bickering with their spouse, tensions with their children and parents and co-workers and siblings. Why do they not have fellowship with those around them? Why are there so many pastors with children who hate them? Because the pastors don't know God. The pastors don't know God. Why don't their children know God? Because their parents don't know God. Yes, are there exceptions? Of course there are exceptions. There are hard cases. But on the whole, why is it? Why is it that there are churches full of people who don't know God, who can go to church week after week and sing praise songs and have experiences and then go out and live like pagans the rest of the week? It's because their pastors don't know God. Their worship leaders don't know God. Their small group leaders don't know God. And so the people in the pew don't know God. And they're full of darkness. And because they're full of darkness, that's all they have. Their homes are full of darkness, and our land is full of darkness. But the promise is right here in 1 John. The promise is right here. It says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And many Christian people don't even know what that fellowship is like. And again, it may be that there are some people who really do know Christ, but their whole life has been cluttered up with sin. They haven't confessed their sins, and so it's gotten cluttered up, and their windshield's just covered in dirt, and they haven't applied the blood of Jesus for a long time. And there are other people in the church that really don't know God, and they never have, and it's just full of darkness. But either way, those people, people who name the name of Christ and don't really know him, or those who do but haven't confessed their sins in a long time, don't really know what fellowship is like. They don't even know what the light of fellowship is like. Do you know the joy of Christian fellowship? Do you know the peace, the glorious freedom of having no secrets, of having no bitterness, of having nothing to hide? Do you know that? I'm convinced that there are so many people who name the name of Christ whose homes are full of darkness, and they think that's just normal. They think that being a Christian home is basically being some kind of average American home. It's like a television show from the 1950s or something. And that's sort of normal, and maybe there's occasional blow-ups, and they just sweep it under the rug, and there's occasional sin, and they just sort of ignore it, and they just say, well, it's not as bad as over there. And they don't even know what it is to have Christian joy. They don't even know what it is to have Christian fellowship. They don't know what a Christian home can be like. They don't know how full of light it can be. They don't know how full of joy it can be, how coming home can be the best part of your day. How coming home and seeing your kids and your kids seeing you is the best time of the day. How sitting around a dinner table together, laughing and telling stories is the best part of the day. How a fellowship and love between you and your wife, between you and your husband, is the best thing in the world. And don't get me wrong. The point isn't that Christian fellowship is sinless. That's not the point. But the point is that this Christian fellowship is constantly being cleansed by the blood of Christ. It's constantly being cleansed. What's the difference? You have a family, a couple of houses on the same block, same development, same house, and you got one family with seven kids and another family with seven kids, and they're it's busy and fun and everything, and you walk into one house and it's tidy and neat and and so on, and you can walk through the living room and kitchen, and you can tell people live there, but it's not a wreck. And then you walk into the other one, and it's just, you know, there's stuff hanging off the chandelier, everything's, the dishes haven't been done in weeks, all the, you know, garbage is spilling out of the trash can, and it's just a wreck. What's the difference? What's the difference? In the clean home, it's not that in the clean home they don't make messes. No, the difference is in the clean home, they pick up. In the clean home, they pick up. And so it is in a Christian home, in a Christian marriage, in a Christian family. It's not that sin doesn't happen. It's that when it happens, it's dealt with. It's dealt with the way the Bible says to deal with it. And what does it say? The same text, 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you want to be clean? Then confess your sins. That's it. Just confess your sin. Confess your sin to God and confess your sin to whoever you've sinned against. Ask them to forgive you. Tell them it was wrong. And then they, if you're a Christian and someone comes to you and says, please forgive me, I was wrong, I sinned against you. Then the other person says, I forgive you. And then you're clean. Then you've begun to pick up. Then you begin to wash up. And then you've begun to let the light of Christ in. The light of Christian fellowship in. Do you want light in your home? Then confess your sins. Do you want light in your family? Then forgive your dad. Forgive your mom. Forgive your children. Forgive your aunt, your uncle, your boss, your coworker. Forgive them. And if you sinned against them, go to them and tell them it was wrong. Right? Do you want the light? Do you want the light in your home? Do you want there to be light in the dwellings of Israel? Then confess your sins and forgive one another and get back in fellowship with God. Stop calling your lousy version of fellowship, fellowship. It's not fellowship. If it's a wreck, it's a mess. You walk around and you hope nothing falls apart. You hope no one gets mad. You hope no one gets upset. Don't call that Christian fellowship. That's not Christian fellowship. That's a mess. That's darkness. That's not light. A Christian home that obeys God's word, that loves Christ, and that does what he says, lets the light in. And that light is rich. That light is bright. That light is full of joy. It's full of peace. And we have forgotten what it is. We don't know what it is to be in fellowship with God and with one another. But it's right here. It's right here for us. If only we'll accept it. If only we will take it. Of course, all of this is pointing ultimately to Christ himself. The light we are talking about, the light we want in our homes, the light we want in our families and in our marriages is not some impersonal force. It's not some mystical power, some religious experience or religious feelings. No, the light we are talking about is the presence of a person. The light we are talking about is the presence of a person, and that person is Jesus of Nazareth. That person, he is the light of God. He is the light of the world. He is the Word of God, and since he is also the Son of God, he is the one who grants us fellowship with God. Because he's the Word of God, he's the light of God. Because he's the Son of God, he is the one who grants us fellowship with God, and so he is the light of our fellowship with God and one another. No one comes to the Father except through him. Christ is the light we're talking about. Christ is the light that makes the dwellings of the people of God full of light. Christ must be there. If we want light in our homes, we must have Jesus in our homes. And this is not just a nice religious saying. This is not the thing that the pastor is supposed to say. This is not me saying you need a traditional family values renovation in your home. This is not me saying that you need conservative values in your home. This is not me saying you need to try harder or turn over a few new leaves or make another New Year's resolution. No. We need Jesus in our homes. You can't do it. You can't get the light. You don't have the light. Look in your heart and what's in there? Darkness. That's what you have. That's what you have to offer. The only way you can have light in your home is if Jesus is in your home. We need Jesus in our homes. The reason Jesus has been largely banished from our public square is because we didn't want him there. That's why he's not there. We told him to go away. And we didn't want him there, and we didn't want him there because we have largely ignored him in our homes. We didn't want him in our homes either. And so now it's gotten dark. The plague has come. It's full of confusion, full of fear, full of uncertainty, and so it's thick darkness out there, and no one knows what to do, where to go. And everybody's just clammed up in their homes, stuck in their homes. It's gotten dark. And suddenly you look around and you realize it's dark in there too. Why? Because you told him to leave. Because you didn't listen to him. Because you haven't read his word. You don't care about his word. You didn't intend to obey him anyways. That's why it's not light in your home. Because Jesus is not there. He's the only one that can give us the light we need. John 1 says this, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. That was the true light, which lightens every man that comes into the world. That's the only true light. Jesus is the only true light. All of our lights in this world, all of them, the sun, you know, the lights shining at me right now, the lights in your house, the lamps that you turn on, our candles, whatever it is, your fires that you set outside, all of our lights are moons. All of them reflect the light of Christ. Christ is the only sun. He's the only one who has all light originating in him. And all our lights, all our stars, all our headlights, all our beams, all of our things, all of that light, it only has light because Christ is the light. He is the one who lightens every man that comes into the world. And so you cannot have a home full of light unless you have Jesus in your home. And if you have Jesus in your home, there's nothing that can make your home dark. Did you hear that? If you have Jesus in your home, there's nothing that can make your home dark. Nothing. Nothing. Hear it. This is just another way of saying what Paul says in Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or pandemics? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If Jesus is in your home, nothing can make it dark. If Jesus is in your marriage, nothing can make it dark. If Jesus is in your relationship with your children or with your parents, nothing can make it dark. If Jesus is in your home, nothing can make it dark. And if you have that kind of confidence, then your life will be full of light. Your home will be full of light. So how can you have that kind of assurance? How can you have that kind of confidence? The only way to have that kind of assurance, that kind of confidence, is to have Christ dwelling in your heart. Jesus needs to live inside you. Jesus needs to live inside you. Not ideas about Jesus, not theological categories about Jesus, not Sunday school songs about Jesus, but Jesus himself, the man, Jesus of Nazareth, has to live inside you. Christ in you is the only hope of glory. But how can Christ, a man, dwell inside of you? How can Christ come and dwell inside of one of us? How is that even possible? How can Christ actually live in your home, in your family? The answer is, Christ is risen from the dead. That's the answer. Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen. He lives. He's been granted immortality. He's been granted a new body that can never die. And because of that, because of the resurrection, he can dwell in us. Christ rose victorious over all sin, all death, all decay, all sickness, all tyranny, all guilt, all shame, all darkness. And he rose with healing in his wings. He rose with endless life and light to bring. He rose to make all things new. He died so that your sin might die in him. And he rose so that you might rise with him. He died so that your sin might die. He died that you might die. That all of your death might die, that all of your lust might die, that all of your adultery and all of your theft and all of your uncleanness and all of your lies might die in him. And he rose so that you might rise to newness of life. So the free offer of the gospel is that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you'll be saved. His light will shine on you. His light will fill you. Christ himself will come and dwell inside you, and he will drive away all the darkness. That's what we need in our land right now. That's what we need in our land right now. Do you want the public square full of Christian light? Then our homes must be full of Christian light. Do we want the darkness of abortion, the darkness of sodomy, the darkness of economic insanity, the darkness of government tyranny driven back? Then let there be light in our homes. That light is of the Word, the light of fellowship with the Father and the Son, the light of Christ filling our hearts and our homes. And that's the only light that will keep the darkness out. Because it's the light that will drive back all the darkness. That's the only light that works. You can't come up with another light. It has to be Christ. It has to be Jesus. It has to be His death and His resurrection and His ascension. There is no other light. We must have the light of Christ. So in the coming years, let it be said of these days that though they were very dark, all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. All the people of God had light in their homes. Let it be said that Christian homes were full of unexplainable joy. And amen. Our Father in God, we plead with you now to turn our nation and our land back to yourself. We ask that you would do whatever it takes to make that happen. We ask you to shine the light of Jesus on our hearts and in our hearts so that your word would be open and we would repent of all of our sins. And that you would grant a great renewal of Christian fellowship in our homes during these days that would spill out into our churches in the public square. And we ask this in Jesus' name and amen.